This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. 13 migrant farm workers say they experienced illegal pay, constant threats, substandard housing, and a lack of medical care when they came to North Carolina. Labor contractors lured them to the state from Mexico using a federal visa program. Those contractors denied liability but now have to pay $75,000 in restitution. Legal Aid of North Carolina just released the details of the settlement. Caitlin Ryland is here to tell us more. She's the supervising attorney for the farm worker unit at Legal Aid North Carolina. Caitlin, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Give us the details, please. What's involved in this case?
So this was a civil case where we represented a group of 13 migrant agricultural workers who are from various states in Mexico. And they were recruited by an H-2A labor contractor, or basically a temporary staffing agency participating in a temporary agricultural visa program from their communities in Mexico to travel to North Carolina to work in agriculture on a lawful visa. When they were recruited, they were promised ample work and a certain wage rate based on the program requirements. And they were charged thousands of dollars in recruitment fees, unlawful recruitment fees for the job. They incurred a significant number of expenses traveling from their hometowns to the consulate and then to North Carolina to work. And when they arrived in North Carolina, they did not get what they were promised. There were issues with housing and pay, and they were subject to all types of threats and coercive means to compel their work in the field.
All right, let's talk more about the program under which they were recruited, this H-2A visa program. Tell us more about it.
The H-2A program is a temporary agricultural visa program. If there's an employer in agriculture who demonstrates to the U.S. government that there aren't a sufficient number of U.S. workers, which could be any worker in the U.S. With work authorization that is qualified, able, willing, available to take that job, then they can get permission to bring a foreign workforce in to fill that labor need. When someone is here in the United States on an H-2A visa, their visa is tethered to that employer. So it's either tethered to a farm like Old McDonald Farm or multiple farms like Old McDonald Farm and New McDonald Farm, an association of growers sharing workers amongst their members, or to one of those H-2A labor contractors, which is kind of like a staffing agency for agricultural labor.
And the program has certain requirements. It has wage requirements, living conditions, and again, as you say, these labor contractors may not charge recruiting fees. All of those are very clearly stipulated in the H-2A provisions, right?
Yes. So the program has specific provisions, and then also employers would be subject to our federal and state employment laws.
All right. So specifically, go ahead. I'd like to hear more about that, actually.
Specifically, under the H-2A program, they have to offer free housing, workers' compensation benefits, higher wage rate. Back in 2015, when our clients were recruited, the minimum wage rate was $10.32 for every hour worked in your work week. They have to also advertise the job to U.S. workers, and there's a hiring preference for U.S. workers if they seek these jobs in the first half of the contract.
All right. So talk about how this particular case, as I say, a number of violations in this case. There's been a settlement, $75,000. How did the case come to your attention?
Well, we typically receive referrals from a host of different referral sources, whether they're from the faith-based communities, shelters, rape crisis centers, educators, health providers, law enforcement agencies. So we get referrals in a variety of different ways. We also go out here at the farm worker unit. We recognize that a lot of farm workers, you know, don't know where our office is or that they have right to free legal services. So we go out to labor camps all throughout the state and meet with workers and farm worker advocates and let them know about our services.
Well, tell us more about the conditions then that these farm workers found and that were reported as part of this settlement.
Well, in our complaint, now this wasn't a case that actually made it to trial. We settled during discovery and prior to trial, so we don't have a final decision. But in our complaint, we allege that our clients were recruited and either had to pay these unlawful recruitment fees up front or promised to pay them from their future wages. They incurred a lot of expenses, and when they arrived in North Carolina, in their first paycheck, they were supposed to be reimbursed the bulk of those travel and visa-related expenses. And if you're traveling from a southern state in Mexico to North Carolina and incurring travel and visa fees, that can be a couple hundred dollars on top of any other debt that you may have incurred. They weren't reimbursed those fees. They were paid less than the contract wage and credited for a lesser number of hours than they actually worked. They were housed in various labor camps, we allege, including with issues in really rural, isolated areas. Some of the housing was dirty, had broken window panes. There were not enough mattresses or beds for all of the workers. In one of the camps where workers were housed, the water wasn't turned on when they arrived. And then the work in the fields is hard. Farm work is very difficult work, usually in extreme temperatures. And they witnessed fellow workers fall ill or get injured and were not provided access to medical care. We allege that they were taken to the Social Security office to apply for Social Security cards, but they had to send those to their labor contractor's home address. Who we allege retained their resulting cards. And then there were efforts to confiscate their passports and threats of deportation. When workers indicated that they were not okay with these conditions and they wanted to leave the situation, then in our complaint, we discuss how there were threats, also not just threats of deportation, but threats that harm would come to them or their families.
So have you seen other cases like this in North Carolina?
Yes, this is not a unique case. And our office has represented other workers in federal court with very similar violations, particularly when employed by labor contractors as opposed to a fixed site grower or a farming operation using that program directly.
And you've said that these kinds of cases really fall under the umbrella of labor trafficking. Talk about that and give us the bigger picture.
So I think a lot of people in North Carolina over the past decade have learned about what sex trafficking is. But labor trafficking is just as bad, and there have been documented reports that is even more common than sex trafficking. Under the federal law, labor trafficking is defined as the recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, or obtaining of a person for labor or services through the use of force, fraud, or coercion for the purpose of subjection to involuntary servitude, peonage, debt bondage, or slavery. So it is, you know, harboring someone, recruiting someone, transporting them, financially benefiting from forced labor using force, fraud, or coercion.
And as you say, this is despicable kinds of behavior, to be sure. There are laws against it, and we're talking about some very vulnerable people here. Even though they're here legally under the H-2A visa, the sense of vulnerability must be palpable and profound. So my question to you is that you keep having to say that you've alleged these things, though there's been a settlement. And of course, any kind of settlement in a case like this, I suppose you're to be congratulated. But I'm wondering if it really does deter this kind of activity, if all you have to pay is $75,000 and you're not subject to the kind of criminal liability that one would expect, perhaps, given the sort of treatment.
I think where we've faced an uphill battle in educating our law enforcement partners about these types of cases. I think there are a host of reasons why it might be more attractive or easier to criminally prosecute a commercial sex case as opposed to a labor case. Commercial sex in North Carolina is illegal. Working in North Carolina is not. So we've been educating our law enforcement partners. A couple of years ago, there was a training requirement for not just all new law enforcement agents to be trained on human trafficking, but all current law enforcement agents, as part of their continuing education with the Justice Academy, had to participate in a mandatory in-service. And we're starting to hear more from our law enforcement agent partners about how they're interested in learning more about how to investigate and prosecute these cases.
That's interesting, because we're talking about federal law here. It might be interesting to see if whether even our state legislature were to step in and mandate that local law enforcement cooperate with federal officials on enforcing these laws. Be an interesting proposition. But tell me more about you at Legal Aid and getting in touch with exploited workers. I'm very short of time, but you said there are a number of avenues. Do people know about you and know that they can contact you?
You know, we work very hard to get the word out, and we have some great partners here in North Carolina, including the North Carolina Coalition Against Human Trafficking and the Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Now, by statute, we have a sitting human trafficking commission. We work with projects such as Project No Rest and media outlets, all to case managers, immigration attorneys in the private bar or from other states. We're working hard to get the word out. We encourage everyone to, if they want more information or materials or see something that might appear to have indicia of trafficking occurring, to call the National Human Trafficking Hotline operated by the Polaris Project. And that number is 1-888-3737-888.
All right, we'll have that at our website, stateofthings.org. Caitlin Ryland, Supervising Attorney for the Farm Worker Unit at Legal Aid North Carolina. Caitlin, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Just ahead, a documentary film that follows the first woman to take sanctuary from deportation inside a North Carolina church. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.